I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Libya, the civil war in Libya, the eastern province, Cyrenaica, is the one that is most controlled by what are called the rebels. However, the whole story of Libya requires a deal of history all the way back to the Greeks and the Romans. And certainly you must look at the most recent events, the 42-year reign of Muammar Gaddafi, and how he has knitted together the tribal confederations. He represents a tribe. He has knitted together tribes with himself. And in Cyrenaica, there are other tribes who have long been jealous, envious, and not especially comfortable with Gaddafi as the ruler, as the dictator. And what you're seeing now underneath the civil war talk, underneath the question of governance, is tribes battling with each other. This is generational, this is ceremonial, and it's extremely mysterious and romantic. Charles Levinson, Middle East correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, is in Benghazi. This is Cyrenaica on the coast. Benghazi is said to be the centerpiece of the resistance to Gaddafi on the coastal road. Charles, a very good evening, good morning to you. Your reports from Benghazi are stimulating, to say the least. First of all, right now, what we know about the tribes and their disaffection from Mr. Gaddafi. Who are the major tribes that are resisting Tripoli right now, to our knowledge?
Well, you have the tribes that are, you know, based in the east are, you know, part of the broader eastern resistance to Gaddafi. So they're certainly what would be put in that category. But you know, the point, the key thing to understand is that, you know, all the fighting at all the points of conflict in this country right now, you know, the tribes are one, you know, factor in the fight, one tool being used by both sides to try to sort of tip the battle in their favor.
So the tribes in the east, who do we look for resisting Gaddafi?
Well, so you have the historic structure of the tribes in the east are fall. You have these two groups of tribes that have sort of been the historic elite in the east, and they're what's known as the Saadi and the Murabitin groupings, and these were the two groups of tribes that interacted and engaged and were a part of supported the Senussi order, These two groups lost their status. When Mr. Gaddafi came to power,
right,
one of the things he moved to do quickly was to eliminate the old bases of power in the country. And one of those was the Senussi order,
all right,
the Senussi leadership. And so he went after the tribes that supported that. So, you know, and those included these two groupings of tribes known as the Saadi and Murabitin. Now, within those umbrella groupings of tribes, you have a whole bunch of smaller tribes. And so these are the ones that you're sort of seeing, you know, reemerging to sort of drive the resistance right now and sort of providing the elites and the new leadership that's emerging in eastern Libya.
I'm speaking to Charles Levinson. He is in Benghazi. And the king whom was overthrown 42 years ago, King Idris Senussi, he employed or had a Praetorian Guard called the Cyrenaican Defense Force. And is that roughly what we're seeing 42 years later reorganized, Charles?
I don't think it's that black and white. A lot's happened in 42 years. A lot's changed. But, you know, the degree to which, you know, the degree to which he was, you know, supported by a trusted elite of tribes, both in his Cyrenaican Defense Force and in privileged positions within his, you know, his regime, and those came from a certain tribal grouping. You know, that tribal grouping is now sort of reemerging as, you know, the governing elites here. So it's, I don't think it's fair to say that this, you know, this defense force is basically recreating itself, because, you know, it's long gone in the past four plus decades. But you're certainly seeing the same, you know, tribal elites reemerging that fueled that force now coming back.
Recent report from the weekend, you write of the Hassuni tribe. And the Hassuni tribe, which was centered in Benghazi, has now gone over to the Gaddafi side or is alienated from those in Benghazi. Is that correct?
It wasn't actually centered in Benghazi. It had a local leader in Benghazi who was killed amid the uprising because of his support for, you know, long historic support for Gaddafi. But this tribe is its power base is a little small town called Bin Jawad, which is over 200 kilometers, 250 kilometers west of Benghazi. And right now that's sort of on the, it is on the front line between the two forces. So the Hassoudi tribe became, according to what we're hearing from other tribal sheikhs here, that tribe suddenly became a sort of a focal point of both sides' efforts to woo it over to their side, because it was on this, it was in this sort of key town, and because they have sort of historic ties with Gaddafi and Gaddafi's tribe, and because their leader in Benghazi had been killed by the rebels early in the uprising, they were quite susceptible apparently to Mr. Gaddafi's enticements amid the battle, which again from what we hear was money, weapons, and that sort of helped the Gaddafi forces hold on to the town and beat off the rebels.
The Gaddafi forces, you write, are drawing their power from three tribes. The Gaddafi tribe, which is based at Sirte, his hometown, where there's fighting, also, and where there is strength for Gaddafi. And then two other tribes, the Mukhara, which is concentrated in Fezzan, the deep desert part of Libya, headquartered or centered around Sebha, which is in the sands, and the Warfala tribe, I hope I say that correct, in the west. So Gaddafi's strength is those three tribes. Has there been any change in that relationship over these days of fighting?
Yes. So you have the Gaddatfa, which is Gaddafi's tribe, the Mugharha, which is headquartered in Sebha, and then the Warfala. The Warfala actually had, these were the three tribes that from the beginning historically formed the backbone of Gaddafi's rule. And that sort of, if you look at a map, you see Sebha in the south, and then to the north on the coast you have Sirte, and that sort of swath of land from Sirte on the coast inland to Sebha was sort of his tribal, his tribal access of support, basically. Now, the Warfala, which is one of Libya's biggest tribes, they say it has about 1 million people, which in a country of just 6 million is big. They actually had a falling out with the Gaddafi regime to a certain degree in the 90s when they were implicated in a coup attempt. Early on in this uprising, the Warfala announced their support for the revolution. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that all 1 million people come over and support the revolution, but it does, it does suggest that a significant segment of them probably did. So now you're down to sort of the Mugharha and the Gaddatfa tribes as sort of the real anchor of his regime still. And you see, the two strongholds that Mr. Gaddafi is still holding on to, the most solidly are Sebha in the south and Sirte on the coast in the north. So you could sort of see how these tribal networks are really helping him now.
Charles, what we hear from the Fog of War random reporting, you're in Benghazi on one side of the country, is that much of the fighting and the dispute and the upset is along the coastal highway and the coastal route, sort of the 50-mile band inland from the sea. And we do not hear much about fighting or upset or machinations in the deep desert. Do you hear differently in Benghazi?
No, it sounds like, this is a country that is the size of Italy, Spain, France, and Germany, I think, combined, and has a population less than Denmark. So it's an extremely sparsely populated country. That whole inland swath that you're talking about is almost all desert.
Right.
There's not a lot there. The population centers are on the coast. The points of value, the ports, the oil refineries, are on the coast. Granted, you have oil fields inland, but those are fell under rebel control pretty quickly in the east. So it's a lot harder to fight in the desert. There's a lot less people to do the fighting in the desert, and so I think that's part of the reason you're seeing it concentrated really on the coast. If you control the coast, that's really what's going to make or break a battle for control of this country.
And it looks very much sometimes like the heroic stories of World War II and the 8th Army fighting Rommel back and forth on the coastal road in the early part of 1942 into 43. Right now in Benghazi, we're hearing very, very active but contradictory reports from Europe and the United States about a no-fly zone or intervention or recognition. Do you have anything that you've been filing reports over these last hours, anything to point us in which way the story is going?
I think you've seen mixed messages coming from the rebels about what degree of foreign intervention and support they want. You know, they had called, initially they had called for airstrikes, and then they came out and said, no, they don't want airstrikes, they don't want any foreign intervention like that, but they still seem to want a no-fly zone, but, you know, without really addressing how, you know, without acknowledging the fact that a no-fly zone would likely mean some degree of airstrikes, at least on Libya's air defenses. They're still figuring out this whole game of international diplomacy. They've been thrust into this role somewhat unexpectedly. A lot of these guys are lawyers, human rights activists, activists, and suddenly they're, on the international stage trying to navigate, a very complicated international diplomatic scene. They're starting to get their flow a little bit, but you're still seeing a lot of mixed messages on this and certainly on the issue of the degree of international intervention.
Charles, we are told that Gaddafi has a high-performance aircraft, but that the bulk of his air power is rotary-winged helicopters. Have you seen helicopters from operating in the Benghazi area since you've been reporting there?
Not in the Benghazi area. There have been helicopters used on the front lines, which, as I said, is about a couple hundred kilometers plus west of Benghazi. And he has deployed some helicopter gunships there, but not too intensively. There have been also, there's been a good number of, every day there's been a handful of bombings by fixed wings fighter jets as well. But again, it hasn't been a super intensive sustained air campaign.
Has there been an airstrike directed at downtown Benghazi? Anything along the harbor? No.
Not that we know of. Although we just heard an explosion a few minutes ago. I'm not sure what it was.
It could be anything. And I'm speaking to Charles Levinson of the Wall Street Journal. He's in Benghazi, which is Cyrenaica. The other detail was there was random reporting of a depletion in the petrol supplies. They're having trouble getting petrol either from Tobruk or from Egypt. Have you heard that, Charles?
There's been talk of this and warnings that they're running low, or in some days and some weeks we could see a shortage. So far, there doesn't appear to be shortages of gasoline or other basic commodities. They have the Egyptian border. They do have ports, in the east that they can have functioning. So they appear to have the capacity to get past these shortages, but they certainly there is an awareness that these shortages could become an issue, although they don't appear to be an imminent, they don't seem to be in crisis mode just yet.
You're very generous in the last detail, because I have not carefully studied your reports for this. The incident with the British diplomats, the SAS and the MI6 over the weekend, coming into Benghazi, being turned away again. Is there any information that the British have returned, that other diplomats have been welcomed and not turned away?
We're told by pretty senior rebel officials close to the provisional government that they have had a contacts with an array of foreign governments, both via foreign diplomats and officials coming to eastern Libya through the Egyptian border overland, through third party intermediaries representing governments, but not officially, and through defected Libyan diplomats overseas. We don't know exactly the details of any of these contacts, which governments have met in which way, but we do know that there are contacts going on between the rebels and foreign governments.
Charles Levinson is Wall Street Journal Middle East, reporting from Benghazi very generously, and only one explosion in the course of the conversation. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.